You might like to open your Bible to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, again, if you would. Exodus, chapter 20. And someone might like to open our time, if you would, in a word of prayer. In our study of the names of God, which reveals the person of God to other people, the name is for, not for the person, but for the other persons to know a person by the name. And so we've been looking at those names, and in the particular name we're on now in the light of Ezekiel, in Exodus chapter 20, picking up please in verse 24, Exodus 20, you have the Ten Commandments, remember. And just to refresh our memory in the light of last time. Verse 24, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record, cause to be remembered, made to be remembered my name. And I will come unto thee, where my name is to be remembered, and I will bless thee. So, wherever I am, and you honor me where I am, then I will bless you. That's a wonderful promise. Clear, simple statement. If you honor where I am, I'll bless thee. And thus, Moses, you knew, stood at the burning bush, Exodus 3, And God was there in that bush at that time, only then. And that ground became holy ground because God was there. And God made that ground special, separate, holy. And thus, Moses was to recognize that by taking off his shoes because he stood on holy ground. And he would understand the ground that he would stand on 100 times. This time it was holy because God was there. When God was there, it became different. And when we also know that in God's wonderful person and presence, that he is infinite, and that means he is everywhere. And that's hard for us because we're finite, and it's very hard for us to understand such. We can understand the atmosphere, and we draw a circle out there in space, and we can say this whole ball, if you would, sphere, is full of air, and you could do that. And then if you want to have a big circle, which we don't know how to make, if you had a big one of some kind, you could include all of the galaxies, not just stars, but all of the galaxies, billions of them, who knows, God knows, and we could include them all in the circle. God would be in the middle of all of that. It's hard for us to come to grips with it all. Come to grips with it. Because God is God. And thus, we're to look to God. But God manifests, makes public, clear his name to us humans. And we have a problem, humans do, because of sin. Sin separates us from God. So all humans in the days of Adam and Eve, they were very conscious of God still, obviously, but their relationship to God had come to an abrupt halt. And so there they are trying to exercise themselves. They didn't have religion, remember. In the days of Noah, they were not religious. They were just disobeying God. They wouldn't honor God, didn't honor God, honored themselves. And so the presence of God was very clear. So as sin occupied the human heart, then that wonderful understanding of God dissipated, disappeared, diminished, and deteriorated, all those D's, and did that. Now, having said that, here is God going to say, wherever I put my name, there I am, and I'll bless you. My name is everywhere, who I am. Who I am is everywhere. But where I manifest, make it clear, then that's where I'll bless you. So now, having said that a little bit, go over with me, please, over to 1 Kings and chapter 8 again. 1 Kings chapter 8. And you would recall, picking up, please, in verse 10. And it came to pass, this is the dedication of Solomon's temple. And God, like the dedication of the tabernacle, God filled the tabernacle with his presence, his wonderful glories, the way to manifest himself, so that no one could get near the place, in the place, because of the glory of God filled it. Now, here in the dedication of Solomon's temple, according to God's blueprint, as the tabernacle, God does it again. And in chapter 8, verse 10, came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Now, God, remember now, we did it last time, that God had chosen a place even before the nations were scattered in Genesis 11. God reminded Israel and the world that would pay attention. Everywhere all those 70 nations went, when they went, God said, I have a place, Jerusalem, Palestine. And every place in all the world is divided up based on where I put them. I'm putting them in Israel. And they aren't there yet, but that's their place. And so now, having said that, here's Israel, Solomon's temple, and God had committed himself, Moses, etc., to building a temple in the city of Jerusalem. That would be his place. That would be his place all through world history, all the way into the millennium. That is his place, his land, his city. It is where his temple will be. Well, here Solomon built the temple there, the glorious temple of Solomon. And in the process, just to remind you, over to chapter 8, verse 22. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above, or in earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Verse 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of the heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Now, keeping that in mind, verse 29. Let thine eyes be open toward this house, day and night, even toward the place of which thou hast said, My name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and to thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, when thou hearest, forgive. So God, you're a God that is everywhere, and the heavens cannot contain you. But God, you are able to make your wonderful person known in a very special way in the temple, in the temple. And so, God, we can't deal with infinite because you're everywhere and we're in the middle. We can localize it by going to the temple because you put your name there. That's where you said you'd be. And we're going to honor you, infinite God, by looking at that temple and praying in that temple, praying toward the temple. And no matter what happens, where we Jews are, all over the world, when we get scattered, when we're in trouble, when we're at war, when we're in sickness, whatever it is, God, if we look to you where you are, in that place, wherever we are, Brazil, South America, etc., America, wherever we are, if we look to that place, if you can use it in our day, and looking to that place, I will bless thee. Now, and that's why we pray, as you know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that is not a bad thought these days, since Jerusalem may have to, who knows, God knows, take care of Iran's nuclear facility. And they don't care, and they shouldn't care, and they don't care. They said they don't care. They're going to do it. They're plain old going to do it. That's what they're going to do. And the only trouble is, we didn't send the Iranians a note to precisely what day we'd do it so that they would know, just like we did in Iraq. We gave them a whole year to move all the bad stuff out to Syria, and the trucks went by night, carrying it all out. And then when we went in on the appointed day, we looked, and there's nothing there. Now, I wonder why not, you see. Anyway, having said all that, God, one other place, all kinds of places. In chapter 8, just picking up at random here, verse chapter 8, 1 Kings. And if I can, in verse 46. If they sin against thee, 8 and 46, 1 Kings. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. And thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so they carry them away captives, Assyria, Babylon, and the land of the enemy, and unto the land of the enemy far and near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves of the land, whether they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them, that carry them captives, wherever they are taken captives, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, the land, the city, the temple. If they understand what God has done, and God said, if you will honor me, honor my presence, how? As a Jew in that day, by recognizing where God put his name in the temple. Now, if they do that, no matter where they were, God would bless them. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, would you go over with me, to Jeremiah, if you would. Jeremiah and chapter 3. And as we do that, I want to just put you in memory what we're looking at. Hold your finger in Jeremiah chapter 3 and go over to the end of Ezekiel chapter 48. Just to remind us what we're doing. Ezekiel chapter 48. And remember here, Ezekiel is living remember, back then, Ezekiel was living in the day when the temple has been torn down, burned down, the walls down. Nebuchadnezzar, 586, has taken it all down. And it were about 14 years after that. Ezekiel's still alive. The Jews are in Babylon. And they are looking back. Everyone knows what happened to Jerusalem. It is burned, leveled, all finished. And God gives Ezekiel a wonderful message of encouragement to the people of Israel. And in the last eight chapters, 40 to 48, he tells them he's going to build the temple again. Not the temple of Zechariah and Ezra and Nehemiah. He's going to build a millennial temple in that day. And they are to be encouraged. No matter, they're looking into the future. How's the future going to come out? No matter what it is today, how's it going to come out? And 48, remember, verse 35. It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city, which was that in from that day when God sets it up, the name of that city is The Lord Is There. And the word there, adverb, adjective, Shema, there. It is there, there. Now, keeping there in mind, and then you want to get the word there by saying where. And when you say where, you say in that place, there. And you've got it. There. Where? In that place, there. In that city. That city will be called Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. He's there. That, and we shared last time all of that that pertains to that a little bit. Now, back over if you would to Jeremiah chapter 3. God is there. And in Jeremiah chapter 3, picking up, please, remember Jeremiah was there when Nebuchadnezzar took it down, etc. And in chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 11, 3 and verse 11. The Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to make it. But not everyone's coming back. It isn't going to work out good for everybody, but for some it will. Verse 17. At that time, when I bring it back and make it there, at that time shall they call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. God is going to bring them back, and they're going to come back, and the throne of God is there. What's so wonderful about Jerusalem? God is there. It is where God administers and executes his wonderful reign and rule. Now, having said that, chapter 14 of Jeremiah. And in chapter 14, again, adding, verse 19, 14 and 19. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? And there is no healing for us. We looked for peace, and there is no good. For a time of healing, but behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us, hate us, etc. Do not abhor us, for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. All of it, God, it's your glory, your throne, your name. Always. How did Moses, why was Moses so successful? God would have wiped out all of Israel after making that golden calf. Why not? Why not? What was your plea, Moses? What did you say to him? I said, Moses, God said to Moses, your name, not our name, your name is on the line. And Egypt is going to curse you and blame you because we represent your name. And therefore, God, you're going to have to handle this in a way, if you just wipe us out, they're going to speak poorly of you. So God, you're going to have to think about it. And God said, wonderful, Moses, you're thinking right. I always honor my name. Everything I do is for my name, my great name's sake, because of who I am. Now, having said that, thus, verse 22, are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles, the idols, the philosophies, the religions, that can cause rain? No. Can the heavens give showers? No. Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things. We're going to wait, God, upon you, looking to you, waiting upon you. That's what we're going to do. Now, over if you would, to Psalm 87. God is going to honor his name, and they're going to wait for God to honor his name and to fulfill his wonderful promise to bless them, ultimately, if not immediately. Psalm 87, and picking up, remember here, the occasion is probably the ark going to Jerusalem under David. And in Psalm 87, going, if I can, verse 1, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, throne of God, name of God. It's your place. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You want to pray for something, pray that that'll happen, because that is the key for the world. Not us, but Jerusalem. Thus, down to verse 7. As well the singers, as the players of instruments, the instruments and the singers, shall be there. They're going to be there. They're going to be there. All my springs are in thee. So what are you going to say as you try to encourage your heart in the days of David, etc.? You're going to go and say, listen, God, it's a wonderful thing that you're going to do, that you're doing in Jerusalem. You're going to have Solomon's temple and all of that. And all of it's going to move through the course of history. And you're going to be there, even though that gets leveled and burned down. That's right. And if we look to the place, even though it's burned down, there's nothing there. We remember, God, that is your place. Your place. Now, in the end of verse 7, all my springs, all my fountains are in thee, God. Where our whole ball game is in you. Now, you've heard that all kinds of things, you know. You don't want to put all your eggs in what? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't do it. But you want to put all your trust in one God. All of it. How about a little safety net? No net. No net. God said, all, with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, all. No, sir. God said, I'm putting all of me, and if you know who I am and trust me, you give all of your heart to me. All of it. Thus, all my whole way to survive the fountain is going to come from you. Psalm 84. And in Psalm 84, picking up, I'll go directly to verse 4, the blessing. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they're blessed, which is read. If you wanted me where my name is, I'll bless you. It's going to work. Going to work. And they that dwell in thy house, they shall be still praising thee. Praising thee. Intensive. Praising thee. Blessed, verse 5, is the man whose strength, power, might. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, the highways. God, how are we going to get to where we're going? You are the key. All our springs are in thee. God said, blessed is the man who's looking to you, resting in you. Can't lose God. Verse 8. Who? The man, woman, boy, or girl. Passing through. As a way of life. Moving down the corridor of time, if you would. Every day, hour after hour, week after week. Who passing through the valley of Baca, the verb to weep, wilderness needs water. The valley of Baca, make it a well, there's your word, spring, fountain that you have over in Psalm 87, verse 7. The springs, the fountains, the well. Make it a well, a fountain. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. And so as the believing heart travels down the road, they're going to make dry, barren places. They're going to bring it blessing because they're moving in God, with God, by God. And as they do that, they go from strength to strength to strength to strength. Not from weakness to weakness. They go from strength to strength. They go down the corridor of time and they bring blessing. There's security. There's confidence. There's competence. There's comfortableness. It's there because the heart is resting in the finished work, in our case, the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, back over to the millennium, where the temple, Isaiah chapter 12. And you will pick up, looking into the future, where God said, my name is there. You'll call the city Jehovah Shema because my name is there. So now, here's Isaiah chapter 12. And picking up, if I can, for time's sake, directly in verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength. We just read, going from strength to strength. How can you trust God? If you trust God and look to him, then you're looking to the right place for the right reason. God said, I'll honor my name. If you honor my name, I'll bless you. You're going to go from strength to strength. You'll make it. Wherever you go, you're going to be one person to bring blessing. How so? Because you're going to have 2 Corinthians 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, what? You're going to have the comfort of God encouraging your heart. In the midst of all the trouble, heartache, headache, all kinds of ways, you have wonderful encouragement. Your wonderful God is there, and God is in the middle of it. That's a wonderful thing. Everything is there, and God is there, and that's good. And God being there makes everything good. Even though it could be terrible, it's good, because God is there. Now, having said that, verse 3, therefore, with joy shall you draw water from the wells. There's the word wells, spring, fountains. You're going to draw waters from the wells of salvation. What do you mean? You're going to rest in that day in the millennium, and I'm going to be a wonderful Savior provider. And you're going to know how wonderful I am. If you thought the wilderness was something where I fed you, clothed you, kept you from sickness, disease, nothing wore out, you had everything going for you. If you thought that was something, where do you get into the millennium? Where do you get there? And God is going to be, it's a wonderful time. God will be a wonderful Savior. And you have to want to trust him then. Many as the sand of the sea will not trust him. But they could. The same as in the wilderness. They all could have trusted him, but they didn't. Now, having said that, in the day coming up, God is going to bless them, and that's the way it is. God said it would be that way. So now, verse 4, chapter 12. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. And you're going to honor. You're honoring the presence and person of God. And it's a wonderful thing. You just have that sense of God's wonderful person and presence in a very beneficial way. Now, having said that, if you would, over to Exodus. Exodus, if you would, chapter 25. Now, in this, thy Jehovah is there, his name. And another way, window to look at it, is that God was there, his presence, the presence of God, the person and presence and power of God is always present. And we need to learn that and practice it. And if you say you don't need to, then you do. Because you have to do it to where it becomes automatic, and you have never a question. I'm always in the presence of God. I'm always in the presence of God. I never leave the presence of God. And if I don't leave the presence of God, I don't leave the power of God. I don't leave the provision of God. I don't leave the care of God. I'm always in the presence of God, aren't you? When we assemble together, he mocks his presence as he does no other time. That's why it's so awesome, if we but get it. Now, in the light of that presence, and there's a word you know in the Old Testament. It's lots of times the word presence, and it means face, F-A-C-E, face. It's always in the plural, faces, intensifying, faces. And it's looking face to face. Now, just to get it so you catch it a little. Exodus chapter 25, and in verse 30, you remember of all the different things inside the tabernacle, one of which was on the right-hand side when you went in, and that was the table of showbread. Verse 30, and thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me. So here, the tabernacle represents God, our Lord Jesus Christ, And representing him there, then the showbread on the right with the 12 loaves every day, 12 loaves, one loaf for each tribe of Israel. And those 12 loaves for God, God would look, and there, always in his presence, are the 12 loaves. Show, the word S-H-E-W is the word face, is a presence. The present bread, the presence of bread, the faces of bread. God, what are you looking at? I'm looking at all 12 tribes, and they never leave me. I always see them. Never let the tabernacle temple be without showbread. The 12 tribes, whether tabernacle, Solomon's temple, showbread. Make sure there's showbread. To remind what? To remind you that Israel is always in the presence of God. God said, I never lose and never let them go from my presence. Now, having said that, over if you would to Exodus 33, you know, Exodus 33. And you would be familiar. I'm just going to pick it up because we touched on it. Exodus 33. Remember Moses, Israel, the golden calf and all that. Exodus 33, verse 11. Moses is in talking to God. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. That's faces. Presence, P-R, presence, the presence of God. You'll see it. You can tie your eye up to verse 14. And God said, my presence, my face shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My presence, my face. Back over to verse 11. Moses spoke to God face to face. Face, God looking at Moses, God, Moses looking at God, they were in each other's presence. And that was a wonderful thing for Moses. Now, you have to remember now, over if you would please, to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy in chapter 5. And in chapter 5, again, context, helping us. Verse 2, the Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, Mount Sinai. And the Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us. In other words, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never stood at Mount Sinai. They never got the Ten Commandments. Moses did, they did not. So what was the advantage that everyone that left, exited Egypt with Moses, what wonderful thing occurred for them? Verse 3, the Lord made not his covenant with his fathers, but with us, plural, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. And the Lord God, the Lord, talked with you, plural, talked with the people, what? Face to face. They had what Moses had. They had what Moses had. And they forfeited it. They forfeited it. They never had it again. Never had it again. Never had it. Moses had it and kept it. But they never did. They never had. They had a wonderful opportunity to go to God face to face, but they didn't. Do you know when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God gives you a wonderful privilege of having such a unique relationship to Him because you represent Him, His name, His name. And when you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, when you represent Him, then you couldn't get any closer to God if you tried. So God, here we are. Now, why don't I take advantage, if you ask anything in my name, for my glory and my honor, in my goodwill, I'll do it. I and my Father will abide in your heart. I want you to abide where I am, in my Father's house. But until then, I'm going to abide with you. So you're going to be in my presence, and I'm going to be in yours. And I'm in your presence until you're in mine. So I want you to go and understand, you, wherever I am, is blessing. Now, and God, Ephesians 1:3, has blessed us with all heavenly blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. We get all of heaven's resources. But you know, I'm not sure all the believers use them. I don't think they use them. I don't think they understand what God has done for them. Now Israel had a wonderful opportunity, and they pushed it aside and never got it back. And you know, we read it in Hebrews, etc. Your heart can get so hard, so indifferent, so stupidly stubborn, so blinded, that you won't see. And you want to see, but you really don't want to see, because it takes repentance. And you have to humble your heart, eat humble pie. You got to go down. Whoop, God, what a stupid person I am. You have to be like Psalm 73 in that. I was a beast. I was a beast before you, God. I didn't know what I was doing. What a stupid person I am. about your whole person. And so, God, help us. Well, here's Israel. They had a wonderful opportunity. But, they didn't take advantage of it at all. So now, over if you would, please, Psalm 31. Let's have a little exercise with the heart, a heart exercise. And picking up in Psalm 31, and if I may, going to verse 16, if I may directly, make thy face, God, thy presence, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. God, I need your face to shine upon me. Verse 20. And the advantage, thou shalt hide them. I'll read verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence, thy face. See, God said, I'm looking at you, and you have it, another way to say it, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart. And God's there looking. And God blocks everything else. Not going to be. No, it has to go through God. Can't get to God. God, make your face to shine upon me. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you're looking for? You're looking for that, aren't you? I just had to go in to see, because Julia Lepore is probably not going to be on earth much longer at all. Who knows, tonight, next day. And in the process of going in there all day and then again tonight, in the process getting in there, what do we know? Well, we sit here and I said, oh, no. And what's the family sitting there? And I sat down in a chair and I wept bitterly that it would be so terribly bad that Julia is going to get a break and get relieved from all her headache and continuous problems. I didn't do that. And they're all there, Listen, we got a wonderful God. And I talked to Julia because she could have been hearing. And I hope they listened. Jeanette, I hope they listened. Did they? May have listened. I want to tell you, Julia, it's a wonderful thing. I could say, listen, Julia, normally I'd say, I hope you get better and be able to go to your apartment. But I'm not going to tell you that because then you leave your apartment and back to the hospital. So that doesn't work with you. So I don't want you to go back to your apartment. I want you to go where our Lord is. And I'm going to wish you well. And by the way, that is a very solid wish. Very solid and safe. And so be wonderfully encouraged, Julia, old girl. You're going there. You see, now what happens? I got to bed and say, oh, terrible. No, I didn't do that. What am I going to do that for? I don't care what it is. We have a wonderful God. And we win. Even when we seem to lose. We win. It's the way it is. Always the way it is. And God gives us that. No, it's for real. Now, having said that, in the secret of thy presence. That's right. God, you make all the difference. You're able to make your face shine, the secret of our presence. Now, having said that, Psalm 42. Psalm 42. You'll see it again. And in Psalm 42, David's got his problems in Psalm 42 and 3. So here in Psalm 42, picking up if I can, in the light of that time, verse 1, as the hart the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears, my food, what I've been feeding on in my mind, my tears have been my meat day and night. while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? So, God, we are without God. No, we're in the presence of God. How are you going to know that, dear believing heart? When, verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the multitude of joy, with the voice of joy and praise, and a multitude that kept holy day. And I said, when I understood I was in God's place, God, where you are remembered, where you are going to bless, if I remember where you are, here, and look to you, you'll bless. So now, verse 5, why art thou then cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, all aggravated inside? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help, healing, saving grace of his countenance. The word countenance is the word face, presence, the presence of God. I will praise him. He is the healing one. So when you're there, you look, using a different illustration, the doctor is happy as you look, the surgeon's happy when he looks down at you, and that's a big help, isn't it? He's happy when he looks down. The chef comes out of the restaurant and looks at your plate, and he's happy. Aren't you happy that he's happy? You're looking at that. You're looking at the dentist as he takes his long tweezers, big needle, and he gets there, and he's happy. You're happy because they're happy. It reflects. It reflects. Up in the ship, the storm, you remember. And the guy went up and saw the captain in the great storm. They all wondered whether they were going to survive. And the man came back down to the below deck there where they were holding out. And he said, be of good cheer. The captain was smiling. And that's all you want to know, is God smiling? Is God smiling? And if he's smiling, you're all set. God smiling. And thus, we look to God. God, make your face to shine. Thus, verse 11 again, remember, you know all this. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the healing, health, saving grace of my countenance and my God. And I, said the believing heart, I was encouraged looking at God in the presence of God. I am encouraged face to face with God. It all came out all right. Because I know all things work together for good. God is an ever-present help. Who can separate me from the love of God? God, nothing can separate me. God, there you are. Christ, in the believing heart, the hope of glory. Changed from one degree of glory to another. God, you keep telling me. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God, you keep saying it. It's going to sink in. Knock, knock. You know, is it going to get in there? In there. Wake up. Wake up. So you see it. Wow. Wow. Chapter 16. Psalm 16. And picking up if I can. Psalm number 16. The very end. David, you're going to give us a thought about this whole business. Verse 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence, face. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And you know the following statement, Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face, presence, in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. God, it's a wonderful thing, wherever your name is. And God, here we are, and we've come to receive you as our Lord and Savior, if we're believers. And so, We aren't looking. We're looking. We understand Jerusalem, the temple that will be built, is going to be called by your name, Jehovah Shammah. You're there. The city of God, the throne of God. That's right. But God, here we are. And we're not meant to be to take the place of Israel. We're here to represent you until Israel takes its proper place. And we represent you. And so we're going up. And God, until we go up, you've come down. And therefore, you say in a most wonderful way, as you know, over in, you don't have to turn there, in John 14 and that, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many abiding places, and by the way, I'm going there. And by the way, you're going there. I want you to be what? Where I am. By the way, until I get you get there, John 14, 22, 23, I and my Father will manifest or abide many abiding places, mansions, the word mansions. We will manifest, abide, find a home, my Father and I, in here, in your heart. And therefore, you'll be able to pray in my name. You'll be able to know that I'm going to bless you. Not because of you, but because of who I am. Therefore, it is imperative, it is absolutely a must that you recognize and honor my person and my presence. If you fail to do that, you will not realize and you will not enjoy who I am. And you don't have to be a genie, you don't have to feel a whole lot of tingling. It's just real. God, you've meant what you said. You mean what you say. You said it. God, here I am, waiting on you. And God, I don't need to feel the air. I'm just glad I can breathe it. God, I don't need to feel anything. I just need to know your presence and power and honor it now. And I'll be the immediate beneficiary. I'm going to benefit. My heart will be stabilized, steady, serenity, saved, satisfied, looking to you. I'll be content, God. And you said it to us. You said it to us by the way of the Apostle Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. Just who I am is enough. But, no buts. Just your sufficient God. I don't care how it goes. You're sufficient. You got the idea? So perhaps you have a particular prayer request as